Well, good morning and welcome to our worship service this morning as we worship the newborn King. I greet you in the name of Jesus this morning, the reason that we are here. And Jesus is the reason for the Christmas season. We've heard that phrase before, it's the reason for the season. And I'm sure Christmas has been on our minds the last while. It seems like Christmas season starts pretty early. And now it's just a few days away. We're really thinking about the Christmas story and our Sunday school lesson and different programs and things we might be, events we might be going to. Just thinking again about the familiar Christmas story and the miracle of the incarnation, how Jesus came to earth and became human. That's what Christmas is all about. And we can talk about the commercialization of Christmas and how the focus is shifting in our culture, but really, if it wouldn't be for the Christmas story, we wouldn't have what we know of as Christmas. And I was thinking about the Christmas story and what to share. And there's so many different aspects of this story that we could focus on. And I think that's the beauty of it. And we were at two live nativities this year. And it's always interesting to see what people come up with, what they focus on. There's different emphases in each one that you go to. And they each have their unique renditions of the Christmas story. And there's so many ways to tell the story, but still the central part is all about Jesus and his coming to earth. And once again, this year we have this reminder at Christmas time about Jesus. And there's different words and phrases that might come to our minds as we think about Christmas, and I don't know what that might be for you. As you think about the story of Jesus coming to earth, what comes to your mind? What phrase or word might it be? It's different things we might think of. We refer to it as a miracle, the miracle of Christmas, and the wonder of wonders. There's a song about that. Just something so amazing, and you just can't quite describe it. The word that kept coming to my mind as I thought about this was glory. And I didn't look through all the songs of Christmas, but I wonder how many of them refer to glory. And thinking about the glory of God that was revealed in Jesus as he came to earth. Maybe not a word that we connect as quickly with Christmas, but I believe it's there. My text this morning, I'd like to read just one verse from John chapter 1. And it was referenced in our Sunday school lesson in the opening. John chapter 1, verse 14 is what I'd like to look at. And we think of the Christmas stories. Matthew and Luke have the familiar accounts of Jesus' birth. And John doesn't really say much about Jesus' birth, but he talks about the coming of Jesus and what it really means, the kind of the big picture. So John 1:14 says this, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So I'd like to think about what he's talking about here, beholding the glory of God in Jesus. So he's talking about the Word being made flesh, and you go to the beginning of the chapter, the familiar beginning of the book of John. The beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So he's talking about the Word. And then in verse 3, he says, "All things were made by him." So the Word is a person. And you read through the book, this chapter and the rest of the book, you see that he's referring to Jesus. This Word is referring to Jesus. And in verse 14, we read about the Word, Jesus, becoming flesh. And that means that he became a human, just like us. And that's what we call the incarnation. incarnate means it's in the flesh, something you can see. Jesus became a human. And that's what Christmas is all about, the wonder of wonders, that God became a human, became like us. And it's really something that we can't quite understand. At least, you know, I can't. And many people have tried to put words to it, and it's something we just can't quite grasp. On the end of that verse, or the middle, it says, "We beheld his glory." So I'd like to think about how we can see the glory of God in Jesus this morning. So what is the glory of God? Now, glory is one of those words that, at least for me, I should speak for myself, we don't really use a lot. We might talk about something being glorious, meaning amazing or wonderful, but we don't talk about someone having glory. And the Bible talks a good bit about glory, so I think it's helpful to understand what it means when it talks about glory. So I don't know what comes to your mind. For me, I just think of something that is just magnificent and full of splendor. It has glory. I think that's typically how we would use it. And I was studying this, and I realized that this topic is pretty big. So I'm only going to scratch the surface of glory, talking about glory. You can study more on your own time. But I'd like to think about glory in two different ways this morning. First of all, I'd like to think about it as an attribute of God. So it's part of who God is. God is a God of glory. And it's something that he is or that he has, an attribute. And I also want to think about it as the presence of God. And the Bible uses glory in both of these ways. So I'd like to consider briefly this morning the glory of God in the Christmas story. So first of all, thinking of glory as an attribute. So I mentioned splendor. That would be an attribute of God. And my mind goes to Psalm 19 when it says, "The heavens declare the glory of God." So it talks about how creation is pointing to the greatness and the magnificence of the Creator. There's something about God that creation is proclaiming. It's pointing to who God is, a characteristic of God. And we can call that the glory of God. And it was interesting for me as I was studying the literal meaning of the word glory, at least in Hebrew, is heavy. Now, in English, the word heavy can mean different things, and it all depends on how you use it, the context. You know, we can talk about something heavy as actually having weight. You know, a big stone would be heavy. But you can also use it to describe something very serious or significant. And you can have heavy news, and we know what that means. It's weighty, it's serious, something significant happened. I was working with a Ukrainian fellow the one day, didn't know much English at all. We used Google Translate to communicate most times. And the one day, I'm not sure if I was just extra tired that day or what, he noticed I was maybe dragging a little bit. I don't know exactly. I don't remember anything going on that day, but he asked me, he said, is everything okay? You seem heavy. And no, I don't think he was actually calling me fat. He wasn't saying I'm heavy, but something, he was wondering if something significant was going on. And that's a usage of the word heavy, and apparently it's the same for Russian as well. And I think another sense of the word heavy, if we can borrow from boxing terminology, in boxing you have different weight classes. You have the lightweights on up through. There's a bunch of different names that they have. And then you have the heavyweights at the top. And heavyweight class is where the most capable compete. And really it's because of their weight. They are the heaviest, but they can do the most. And you don't put a lightweight against a heavyweight because it's just not fair. And we use this terminology in other areas as well. We might say that somebody is a heavyweight in a certain area or occupation. And that basically means that they have the most experience. They are the most able to get something done. They can accomplish the most. We would refer to them as heavyweights. Just imagine being in a meeting where the president walks in. Think of somebody with that kind of dignity, that kind of role. Everybody notices. There's a, maybe you could say, a weight to the presence of that kind of person. And I think that's kind of what is meant by God's glory. Just thinking of that as an attribute, it's his weightiness and his ability to do more than anybody else. He is the ultimate heavyweight, you might say. And this is what the heavens are declaring. And we can just look at creation and it just proclaims his ability. That's God's glory. That's his splendor, his dignity and honor, and his weightiness. And we can connect that to the Christmas story. And we think about the coming of Jesus, revealing God's glory, God's ability to accomplish things. And you just think about what Jesus accomplished and how he accomplished it. What were the methods that he used? It was not the typical way of getting things done. It was a demonstration of the power and the glory of God that was in Jesus, revealed in Jesus. That's part of the glory of God, and that's an attribute of who he is, and I think it's revealed in Jesus. You look at his life, and we can see the glory of God through Jesus. So another way to think about glory is as the presence of God. And it was interesting to think about it in this way. The glory of God is used to signify God's presence with his people. And this is a whole study of its own, I believe. You can look through the Old Testament and just look up references to the glory of God in different times. It talks about the glory of God coming down in a cloud and just filling up a space. Talks about God coming to dwell with his people. The glory of God comes down. Oftentimes it's in a cloud. We read about a cloud coming down on the tabernacle or Mount Sinai, the cloud that led the Israelites through the desert. It was a cloud by day and a fire by night. The temple, when they were dedicating the temple and the tabernacle, you see the cloud coming and filling the space where God's presence is coming. It's been called the Shekinah glory. I don't know if you might have heard that term before. And Shekinah basically means dwelling. It's the dwelling presence of God. It's the Shekinah glory. And that's what it means. It means God is present. When God shows up, his glory just fills the area or the building. And that's how it's worded in these stories. You look through these stories, and that's how it says it. The glory of God filled the place. And that's a theme that runs the whole way through the Bible. God's desire to dwell with his people. And I believe we can see that happening different times through the Old Testament, the glory cloud of God dwelling with his people, showing his presence. I had to think about the ultimate fulfillment. Just looking ahead to Revelation 21, we read about a great voice in heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men." And that's the ultimate fulfillment of this plan that God has to dwell with his people. It's the hope that we have. And I think we can connect this as well to the Christmas story. And we can think about God's presence coming down to dwell with us. That's basically what John 1:14 says. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus lived with us. And it's amazing to think about it in that way. The glory cloud of God's presence coming in Jesus in his birth, being fulfilled once again. The dwelling of God is with mankind. The Shekinah glory has come in Jesus. I was thinking about this. There's two different references in the Christmas story that I thought about. One was in our Sunday school lesson, thinking of the shepherds when they were tending their sheep. It's a normal night. It says, an angel of the Lord appeared. And it says, the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And I just have to wonder, what was that? The glory of God shining. You know, I just pictured as a bright light, just lighting up the whole countryside there, whatever setting they were in. But what's the source? Where is that coming from? If there's a light, there's a source. And I wonder if that wouldn't have been God's presence there with them. I don't know. Maybe even directing that chorus of angels. We read about the angels singing, glory to God in the highest. We see the glory of God shining. And also, I'd like to read just a few verses from Matthew chapter 1 in his account of the birth of Jesus. And I'll read verses 20 to 23. So it's thinking of Joseph here. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. So in this passage here, we see an angel directing Joseph what to do. He was not quite sure. He was thinking he might divorce Mary. Would have been considered a divorce. He wasn't quite sure. And the angel is just telling him what to do. Don't fear. This is what's going on. He's telling him what was happening and who Jesus was going to be. We see the promise of salvation. Verse 21, you will call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And also we see this promise of, or the prophecy from Isaiah in verse 23, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. And the meaning of that name is God with us. Talking about God's presence coming in Jesus, manifested in the person of Jesus. And that is what the story of Christmas is really all about. God coming to dwell with us. And really, you can't separate the two either, of God's glory as an attribute and the glory of his presence. They're really connected. But I would just like us to be reminded in this Christmas time that the coming of Jesus was a revealing of God's glory, both as an attribute of God, his splendor and his magnificence and his ability to accomplish his will, but also as a manifestation of the presence of God. With Jesus, God truly is with us. And I'd like to close by just referencing the story from the Old Testament of Moses after he experienced the glory of God on Mount Sinai. And you can read about the story in Exodus 33 and 34. I won't take the time to read it. But Moses asked God to see his glory, to show me your glory. And God says, okay, I will show you partially. You can't see my face. And God says he put him in the cleft of the rock, a little crevice, and he covered him with his hand as he passed by. And Moses was able to see partially God's glory. Now, I don't know what all that means, what actually happened. I just have the story here, how it's written. Moses saw part of God's glory up there on the mountain. And it says, when he came down from the mountain, do you remember what happened? It says his face was shining. And people were actually afraid of him. He didn't even realize it, but people were afraid of him because his face was just shining because of witnessing the glory of God. And he actually had to cover his face with a veil because of this shining face. People were afraid. So with that story in mind, I just have to wonder, have we seen the glory of God? Even if it's just partially, you know, Moses only partially saw God's glory and his face was shining. What about us? Have we seen God's glory? Have we seen Jesus? Do others around you know that you've been with Jesus? And we sing the song like that. Would men know that you've been with Jesus? So I trust as we go through this Christmas that we would be reminded again of the glory of God manifested in Jesus and the miracle of his presence with us and the ability to change us and have us reflect that glory in some way. So Christmas is a story about glory, the glory of God. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this privilege of studying your word and reading about your coming, the miracle of your coming, and how you revealed your glory through Jesus. I just pray that we could be reminded of that as we think about Christmas once again. Help us to look closely to the life of Jesus and pray that you would change our hearts and our lives, that we could shine as a result of seeing your glory in Jesus. Would you guide us as we go from here? Keep us in your will. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.